What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com. It is September 13th, 2021. This is your Fightful post show for a big Monday Night Raw. Well, at least the last big 15 minutes of Monday Night Raw. Huge stuff happening. A new WWE champion. Oh boy, are we going to get into that? We got Denise Salcedo here. We were just saying off the air, it feels like we haven't seen each other in months because, like, two of the last three weekends, Denise and I have seen each other like two or three days on a weekend. Then we do this post show. And this weekend, there was none of that, Denise. And then today, you were off doing other gigs. You were off selling stuff. Like, you're still a busy woman.
So I was literally not really that much on social media this weekend because I had Saturday was my day off and I went to Disneyland. So I was kind of there for a while. And it was over 90-something degrees. So when I got back, I was so I had so much like heat exhaustion. I went and I took a nap. So I completely disappeared. And then Sunday, I don't even know what I did yesterday, but the point is that I really wasn't on social media and I felt the same way. Like today I started thinking, man, did I skip a show with Sean? Did we not do a show? What happened last week? I could not remember. And then I was like, oh yeah, last week was the week that we were both grumpy. And so we were doing the show like all miserably.
We were so tired.
Yeah, yeah. And then today I felt so different watching today's show than I did last week. I felt alive.
Oh, well, guys, we hope you feel alive. Please leave a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube.com/Fightful. Please subscribe. We had a fun weekend. We did a watch along of Anderson Silva doing exactly what I said he was going to do, beating the brakes off of Tito Ortiz, and then sadly, whatever Vitor and Evander Holyfield was. But you know what? We got a bunch of interviews dropping this week, just a ton of stuff. Frankie Monet, how about Shay from the Nitro Girls? I was so excited for that. And we'll wrap up the week with another women's interview, Killer Kelly, this weekend. So lots of stuff coming to Fightful.com. But coming to FightfulSelect.com today was some really big news just across the board. Denise, we'll start with something that didn't happen. Samoa Joe was slated for this show to promote NXT 2.0, which is actually NXT 3.0, but that's neither here nor there. That didn't happen. Samoa Joe has vacated the NXT title. We'll have a post show with Kate Hensler and Alex Pawlowski tomorrow night. But that didn't happen. That's a bummer, the Samoa Joe news.
See, I feel like the Samoa Joe news, everything that has came out as of late, you know, first the whole thing about him relinquishing the title and then your report. I just feel like there's so many questions to still be answered as to what is really going on with Samoa Joe. Like part of me thinks like, okay, is he legitimately injured? Is this all part of the story? I really, truly have no idea. And so I feel like it's one of those things that we're not going to find out until like a bit or until Sean, you go out and let the people know. But it just feels like it's so confusing. Like it came out of nowhere. I wasn't on social media this weekend. I log in and that's the first thing that I see. And I'm thinking, okay, that was not what I was expecting whatsoever. And I had just thought, even if they, let's just say he wasn't injured or, you know, if it just happens to be some sort of work or something like that, I was expecting for them just to do whoever won that contenders match, just to have their match with Samoa Joe the way that it had been planned. So it kind of seems a little sudden. And I don't know. I have a feeling that it really just has to do with this new NXT 2.0. And all I'm going to say is now, even though I want to see Pete Dunne be that champion, I have a feeling that it's going to be LA Knight.
Well, we're going to watch that tomorrow night. Of course, we have full coverage at Fightful.com. Alex Pawlowski, Kate Hensler here tomorrow night. Another NXT-related story that we broke on FightfulSelect.com today. Johnny Gargano's contract is up very soon. Pretty soon this year, you can go to FightfulSelect.com and get all the details there. It seems like the hits keep coming, Denise. I mean, and the reason this is so surprising, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to leave, Denise, but as we've heard in the past, like WWE would re-up these people a year, year and a half ahead of time and lock them down for years. That's just not the case anymore. And this is another big NXT star, a triple crown champion, one of two with Adam Cole, who has his deal coming up very soon.
It's just, it's so weird. I just feel like he's another guy similar to Adam Cole. You know, also, you know, we've been talking about Kevin Owens and, you know, you reported that and it's like, Johnny Gargano is just that guy that has done it all in NXT, similarly again to Adam Cole. So it's, I don't know, like, what do you do? I know that I can't imagine him leaving right now, because at the end of the day, I feel like there are only so many places. Well, there's definitely different options for people to go, but I just really feel like WWE really needs to do what it takes if they want to keep Johnny Gargano, which I think they should want to keep Johnny Gargano. They really do need to do what it takes to start persuading some of the talent to not necessarily jump over.
And there are options out there. I mean, Ring of Honor does have money to spend. There is Impact Wrestling, who has spent some good money on the likes of Moose and Good Brothers. It's not always just AEW necessarily, but we are going to have a lot more on this on FightfulSelect.com. We are breaking stories every day. We would greatly appreciate if you guys would subscribe to that. That is the most direct way to support us. And it's not just news. We have 7 weekly shows. We have Q&A shows, additional Raw and SmackDown reviews. If you want something a little more hateful, that's the place for you. FightfulSelect.com. Joel Wood says, do you think Candace's pregnancy will play a factor in whether Johnny leaves or not? I don't think it will play a factor at all, because I think that Johnny will get work regardless. But get in your super chats, guys. That would greatly help us. It'll get your question or statement read on the air. We do have our great moderator, Luis, keeping track of those. But another piece of news that I broke on FightfulSelect.com today, Denise, that saw its way through was that Big E was slated for tonight's Monday Night Raw. And boy, was he ever. He kicks off the show, and he's joined by Randy Orton and Bobby Lashley and Riddle and MVP. And I'm so excited that I want to skip through all this, but I can't. Like, because I'm just so excited to talk about what we're going to talk about at the end of our show. But this is a lot of posturing between Lashley and Orton. I'll tell you one thing I loved about this opening promo, Denise. MVP saying, this match was supposed to be at Extreme Rules, but Randy Orton politicked to get it changed. And Randy Orton goes, yeah, so?
So for me, I thought you were going to say almost the same line that I thought that I really liked from MVP. So MVP tells Big E, I forget verbatim exactly what he says, but he basically says, like, why aren't you challenging Roman Reigns? Are you afraid of him? Yeah. I kind of felt like this was like a good line and also a bad line. It was good because that's a really good shot, but it was also bad because why isn't he challenging Roman Reigns? And that is part of the reason that, you know, when Big E tweeted what he tweeted, I knew for a fact that they had to have him win the title. They couldn't do a tease. They couldn't have him be a liar. None of that. I knew the second he sent that tweet out that they were going to have him go out, cash in today and have him win, or else it was just not going to look good whatsoever for Big E. But at the same time, on the SmackDown end of things, it really doesn't tie a pretty bow on that end, because I did feel like MVP was making a lot of sense in this promo, and he's the heel. He's not necessarily supposed to be making that much sense, but he did make sense. However, given the way that everything turned out, you know, I have my thoughts on, you know, Big E becoming champion and how it was executed and all of that. But at the end of the day, I thought that today's Raw was good. I thought that the way they kicked it off was good. And the way that they also teased it, even though, like I said, I knew the second I read that tweet that he was going to cash in and become champion, there was still a part of me that thought, what if they don't? What if they don't? Because they keep saying it, and they kept saying it throughout the entire show, where Big E kept saying, I'm going to cash in, I'm going to cash in. And I started thinking, well, what if they don't? What if they just decide to swerve all of us? So I will give them credit for that. Even though I was sure, they had me doubt it for a second.
So after Fightful Select posted that report, Big E followed up, and he's like, okay, now that everybody knows I'm going to be at Raw, I'm going to make it clear, I am cashing in Money in the Bank tonight. And still, it's one of those things, Denise, where WWE knows that we know about them. They know that we know they are complete trolls, Denise, and we still doubted it. And I thought that this opening segment was...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing that we doubted?
It's bad. It's a bad thing that they know that we're like, well, you know, WWE really sucks at booking stuff, so we shouldn't get our hopes up.
See, but then it could kind of be like, okay, well, maybe because they... I don't know. It is a bad thing, huh?
It is a bad thing.
I was trying to find a different way around it, but it's
not. To be like, I hope they throw us a bone this one time, you know. Guys, keep getting those super chats in and please leave us a thumbs up. I am so glad to see thousands of you here right now. Make sure to subscribe to our Clips channel, youtube.com/FightfulScraps. We have event footage, social media videos, show clips, as well as interview clips. So make sure you check that out. We've got a bunch of super chats. Gregory Nelson says, to think I wasn't excited about attending Raw Live tonight. Oh boy, you picked a good one. You picked a good one. Joey Bag of Donuts says, WWE actually making good moves. Yay, competition. This is what we want to see out of competition, Denise. We want WWE to see, oh, they got Adam Cole and they got Bryan Danielson. Let's give them something big. Now, Andrew Zarian had tweeted that this had been the plan for a long time. I have not confirmed that. I'm going to try to. But them announcing it ahead of time, that was a measured move. I love that they weren't like, we're going to roll over and play dead for Monday Night Football. They went for it.
I'm not going to jump off a bridge with excitement here yet until I actually see a proven track record of this.
Why do you get excited to jump off of bridges, Denise? horrible. Why would you do that?
Well, you know what I mean. I'm not going to go all in on this thinking that they're legitimately going to start changing. So I'm not.
Me either.
I'm not. Like, I'm sorry. As of right now, I'm staying put on my bridge. I do not think until I see a track record of consistently good things happening on the show, I'm not going to take this as they're finally, you know, stepping up to the competition, which they should really and should have been doing this for a long time. And if they did, we wouldn't be here in the first place having this discussion. And I do think, though, and I will say this right now, even though I'm happy that Big E is champion, obviously, this was hot-shotted to pop a rating, and that's what it was. And so because of that, I still need to see further proof that they're trying to actually better the product.
Yeah, we've got Vincent Millage saying there's more meat on the show than an entire butcher's convention. Well, the reality is there's not much time to spend on a lot of these matches, but let's go ahead and get it underway. Shayna versus Charlotte. Shayna and Nia have issues backstage, but I just want to say 4 women's matches on tonight's show. The action wasn't all wonderful, but I got to say kudos to WWE doing something like I'm begging AEW to do. I'm begging AEW to do 3. I'm begging them to do 3 on Dynamite and Rampage combined in a week, much less 4. You saw last night at Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor, an 18-minute co-main event women's match for 2 women who aren't established to worldwide audiences, and they killed it. They killed it. So it was very promising to see 4 women's matches tonight, but Charlotte gets the win when basically the same thing that happened to Nia last week happens to Shayna. I have no idea why they felt the need to give Nia that random win over Charlotte a couple weeks ago, but here we are. What'd you think of this?
Well, the first and foremost, I have to go back to the contenders thing. It doesn't make sense. Why would you have Shayna in a contenders match against Charlotte when Charlotte already has an opponent? Not only that, she's the champion. She already has a championship match at Extreme Rules. She already has an opponent. I do not understand why this match was made. I do think that it should have just been Shayna versus Alexa. Have Alexa win. Great. Have her get into this match at Extreme Rules with Charlotte. I don't understand why it couldn't have been done like that. I did think that it was confusing. Now, you mentioned the fact that we had 4 women's matches here tonight. I will say that compared to all of the other matches that we have, this one necessarily wasn't up there as one of my favorites because I actually really, and I'll talk about this more, but I really enjoyed Natty and Rhea Ripley later on in the night. So I will say this, I didn't think that this match was necessarily one of the top ones in the night for me.
Yeah, it was not hot, so to speak. J.W. Pringle said, Bliss Flair was really fun. Bezo Banks says, Raw had 4 women's matches. SmackDown would never. Well, J.W. Pringle does say that Bliss and Flair was really fun. No spooky paranormal winking doll dumb, but weird silly fun. Well, Alexa Bliss came out and offered Charlotte a gift. And it was a Charlotte-inspired Lily doll. I will say, again, Alexa Bliss doing the best with what she's given. Every single week, she goes out there and tries to make chicken salad, does her best. Her delivery about Charlotte being a self-absorbed bitch was very funny. Charlotte was like, yeah, I'm narcissistic. So what? At least it's got nice accessories with it. But I'm like, eh, okay. I think the match will be good if there's no smoke and mirrors, but I'm not confident in no smoke and mirrors, Denise.
They got to do the smoke and mirrors. It's Alexa's character to do it. They're going to have to do it. There's no getting out of it, Sean. It's going to happen. But here's the other thing, too, that I want to go back to this Shayna and Charlotte match. I'm totally cool with them giving this match to Charlotte, just having her get a win. You know, she's going, you know, she's the champion. She's going into this match at Extreme Rules. She should be getting wins. But again, don't make it that contenders match. I just think it really takes away from that. But as for the actual doll, I don't shoot me, but I didn't hate this segment at all. I thought it was hilarious. And I was curious as to what she was going to give her. And I had a feeling, okay, it's going to either be a Lily doll just for her, or it's going to be a Charlotte version of the Lily doll. And it ended up being that. I didn't hate it, all right? I mean, I feel like based on what they've done with Alexa Bliss and the Lily doll, they've done far worse. Like all of that stuff with Shayna screaming in the mirror and Raw closing out like that, that was bad. This, not so much. I thought that it actually, I thought the way that Charlotte accepted the gift, even though it kind of took her a second to actually accept it, thought the way that she did it, and because of her personality, she didn't make it feel goofy. Like she made it feel less goofy because she was in on the fact that this is just kind of ridiculous. And then her getting rid of the doll later on, I thought was pretty funny. And I also like that she also mentioned like, oh, and it comes with accessories. And yes. I don't know if it's already up on WWEshop.com. I have no idea. I didn't.
They got it. They got to release the Charlotte version. They got to.
Do you think they're going to do a whole line?
Like, they should.
But in all the women?
Why not? That's an easy $30 right there every time. Donnie says, could you please fantasy book a feud between Lily and Kenny Omega's blow up doll? I mean, at least the blow-up dolls wrestled in the past and had a pretty good match at that.
Hey, Lily's taking a bump. Don't disregard Lily's career, okay?
That is true. Orlando says, good to see four women's matches on Raw, but SmackDown needs women's matches. Yes, they do. Don't even get me started on them pulling Zelina last week. And if you are one of those people that tweets me and says, what could they have possibly pulled time from on Friday to put Zelina's match on the air? I don't know. It took them 8 minutes from the start of the show before Roman Reigns said a word. Rollins and Edge was a 33-minute segment, a title match at the end of the show that went to a non-finish, went 15 minutes. I think you could have carved out 6 to 8, or I don't know, put Zelina on the screen, completely out of character, talking about what it means to her. Some shit is bigger than WWE and face and heel. Very, very not happy with how they handled that, but there you go. Orlando says, tonight Raw was great and the crowd was on fire. Every match got a reaction. Charlie Doll is on the WWE shop for $40.
She's more expensive than Lily.
I love it.
Lily's $30.
Sean says, Charlotte and Charlie versus Lily and Alexa confirmed.
Would this count as a mixed tag match?
Yes, it would.
It would. Maybe. It would, right? Because it's like doll and human.
Yeah. Rolling Courage Streaming says, Denise, if you're into jumping off bridges, you could at least start a tag team with Darby Allin.
Hell yeah, let's do it. Come on, Darby.
What's the most dangerous thing you've ever done, Denise?
Oh, I'm pretty dangerous. Like, I like to do like extreme stuff. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Give me an example.
I've done cliff jumping.
Oh, wow.
Does that count as extreme?
I would say that does.
Zip lining, that's pretty fun. That doesn't count as
that's safe, but I mean, to some people, sure.
Water rafting, does that count as extreme?
Yeah, open water terrifies me, so yeah,
okay.
I'll do it, but
and I'm sure there's some other stuff. I rode a horse that felt extreme.
Extreme, Denise,
dude. The horse, my horse was not following the trail, it kept going, and the man was like, just blow kisses at it. So I was apparently, if you do the sounds like so you're blowing kisses to it, the freaking horse would go back on the trail. So I was literally like doing that to the damn horse. So was terrifying.
Amazing.
Oh, I also went jungle trekking. That one was really crazy because it was in the Costa Rican jungles, and there was all of these like snakes and animals. And I went in there, I kid you not, with sandals and a dress when it was raining. Nobody should do that. Don't do that.
Brandon Charles Powell says, maybe I'll buy some Lily-inspired Retribution dolls. Maybe. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, we had the Reginald 24-7 segment, and it's him darting through the backstage area, avoiding everybody. running people into things. I've got to find out how many takes this stuff takes because it looks awesome. And you've got Drake Maverick, who has been the mastermind of all this, and he's saying it's not the problem with the plan, it's the execution. This continues to be harmless. It lasts about 90 seconds. It puts all these people on TV. Am I thrilled that a bunch of these people are chasing around Reginald like a dork? Reggie like a dork? No. But is Reggie awesome at it? Yes. He's very good at it. How are you feeling about the 24/7 deal right now?
I think I've been more interested in now that Reggie has had it and they've been doing all of what I like to call those TikTok skits. That's all it is. That's fine. I see the purpose in it. We've seen worse. We've seen worse. We've actually seen a lot of the same thing, what I would consider worse, which was before.
We had the New Day reunite backstage. I'm so excited. So excited just to see them back on the same show. I feel like since we're heading into the draft, by the way, we'll tie this into the draft officially announced for October 1st and 4th, as first reported by Andrew Zarian of Matt Men like months ago. But I feel like Adam Pearce should kind of mention to Big E, like, oh, you know that Kofi and Xavier insisted they be drafted separately last year, right? Like, maybe just to cause a wrinkle, because this was the catalyst for this moment. Big E had to go do his own thing. We saw it months before when Kofi was on the shelf and Kofi sort of gave Big E his blessing to go on his own. Then they got drafted separately. I would love that wrinkle to be there and see how Big E responds. Like, would he be thankful? Would he be upset? How would he feel about that? What did you think about the draft announcement and New Day reuniting backstage?
All right. So I have hope for the draft announcement. Like, part of me has hope and then part of me thinks, okay, we're going to get, you know, these new matches, obviously, but then we're going to get rematches of those new matches. So I really hope that that's not the case. I really want this to be what it's supposed to be, which is kind of, you know, restart the brand, you know, for that time period and get us some fresh new feuds. I do want to see that. And I just really hope that it's not something that, you know, what we've seen in the past where, oh yeah, we do the draft, but then all of a sudden we go into the exact same thing and we fall into the same pattern that we normally do. And I know it's crazy to expect otherwise, but I still have hope. I really do, because I have hope.
Up next, we have Super Brutality. We have Nikki A.S.H. taking on Tamina. This was not good at all. This was very bad. It looked like Tamina kicked out at the end. She did not. Rikuchino posted a nice screenshot of her actually not kicking out. And then afterwards, we got Rhea Ripley taking on Natalya. Why do Tamina and Natalya still have the titles? Why are Tegan and Shotzi not in the tag picture? They beat them three times. These two women have been beaten like drums. I am ready to move on. I'm ready for Tegan and Shotzi to win the tag titles, or Nikki and Rhea to win the tag titles, and then those two teams to clash because they are winners. Nikolai says, I'm not crazy. Nikki won, right? She did. Then she was taken to the back and then came back to help Rhea win. This just was not good.
So the match itself, I didn't hate. I actually liked, you know, all of the, you know, the back and forth between Tamina and Nikki. I liked them, you know, essentially. I liked the way that Tamina was very, very brutal with Nikki. I liked all of that. I thought, well, what did that mean? What did the ha-ha-ha mean?
Rhea Ripley, brutality.
Oh, there you go. I was like, wait, what did I miss here? No, so I did like that. I did like that aspect of the match. I found myself actually interested in that portion of it, but the finish was terrible. I don't know what went wrong because we see Nikki A.S.H. get the pin, but I did see Tamina's arm go up, but I think it was after they had already hit the three count. But then the ring announcer announces that Tamina won the match, even though it was Nikki who won the match. So and they never corrected it afterwards. I don't know if they corrected it on commentary. I don't even think I was paying attention to that. But did they correct it on commentary? I don't think they did.
I try to listen to as little commentary on this show as I possibly can.
Yeah, so nobody said anything. So it was just one of those things where I was like, okay, was this supposed to happen? Was that supposed to be the finish? Because up until that point, I was not minding this match whatsoever. And then we get into the Natty Rhea Ripley match. I was a fan of this match. It was actually one of my favorite women's match of the night. I was completely into it. And I think a lot of it was just really the fact that Natty, we already know she's good at what she does. Yes. This is the part. These are the kind of matches that she thrives in, you know, working with the women that, you know, obviously Rhea Ripley, she's great and all, but she's still not at that level. So working with her in this match, I thought that they had a lot of really good moments in here, to the point where if we legitimately got a nice program between Natty and Rhea Ripley, I would be interested in it based on what we saw here tonight. I liked what they did, and I know a lot of it was Natty. And I did not mind that whatsoever. This is where she does really good on the roster. And I know that's why they keep her around and why she does well and gets over. It's because of moments like this. So I was a fan of that.
Shout out to Patrick, who says, yes, the ring announcer announced Tamina won. Tamina's music played. And commentary was talking about how Nikki won. I'll find out more about this tonight, hopefully. And hopefully I'll have it on Fightful Select soon. I did enjoy the Natalya Rhea Ripley match. It's just by then I was like, man, they've been beaten so much, just beaten like a drum over and over again. Like, what's the point? I love the gorilla clutch, the hanging toe hold finish. I can't even remember what Rhea calls it, but it's so good. It's so good.
And see, that's the problem too right now with the Raw Women's Division, is that even if they do have good matches, because we've been relegated to the point where you just don't care about the storylines or care about the people, you know, essentially in this, that it almost doesn't matter when they have these good matches, because then it's like, well, why do we care? Like, again, you know, everybody has a legitimate argument when it comes to this whole Tamina and Natty thing. They've been on a losing streak. I don't even remember the last time they won, unless you want to count today when they just announced that Tamina won.
Nerd Guru says, Nikki and Rhea were our last two champions. Now they're in a proverbial bottom of the barrel, all to goose Charlotte's numbers. I mean, I don't care about them padding Charlotte's numbers. I like Charlotte near the top. It's just a matter of them making the tag team division matter. They got to make the tag team division matter. It's so stupid that it doesn't. It's stupid that they added the NXT tag team titles, the women's tag titles. Just let them split time. That crippled what they had in the tag team division. It crippled it because it reduced the ability to jump between brands.
And Tamina got over. Like, during that WrestleMania match, I wasn't expecting her to get over. She did. When they won,
that's why she got the whole push.
Yeah, there you go. When they got the titles, they were over for a bit. They should have built up on that momentum, and they didn't. Instead, they went into this like wonky like story with Mandy and Dana and just everything that went down from there. I think they could have had something had they built off of that.
12 Loose Leaves says, why hasn't Nikki mentioned she's a 2-time tag champ? They should play off of that way more. They really, really should. JW Pringle says, mental health moment to everyone watching. Please take care of your mental health. If you think you need help, please reach out. You are loved and worthy. We need you here with us. Thanks for letting me say this every week, guys. Much love. Well, buddy, you don't have to even send a super chat to say that, but we definitely appreciate it because it helps us pay the bills. Guys, you can go on Twitter. I mean, most of you that are following us here have Twitter, and go to @NAMICommunicate. That's NAMI Communicate. It's the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It's got a lot of fantastic resources. You can text NAMI, N-A-M-I, to 741-741 also that will provide you with a lot of helpful resources as well. Doudrop against Eva Marie. Doudrop won. Eva Marie's first singles match on Raw since 2014. Cool Joe 35 says, Eva Marie is horrible. The worst wrestler I've ever seen. She ain't good.
There was a big sign right at the beginning, like right at the front row. Right when Eva came out, there was a big sign that just popped out of nowhere. Eva can't wrestle. And I thought, oh, poor Eva. But poor Eva. At the same time, it's like, dang, this was not good. And what's worse is that it's obvious they're working around her limitations, and it kind of makes it stand out more. I almost feel like if they made it seem like she could actually go in there and have a legit match, I almost feel like maybe they can cover some of those things up, but I almost feel like they're showing it a lot more, and that's part of the story.
Yeah.
I think it's part of the story.
It's a lot like Reba, not Rebel, in AEW. Like, she's not the strongest technical worker. Like, everybody knows that. She's more of a character. But her character is also that she's a terrible wrestler. It's that she's not actually a wrestler. She just happens to be there. Eva's is that she's not good. But Doudrop won. There you go. That's all we got.
There isn't much. There isn't much.
I'll tell you, there's a little bit more on Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross cuts a promo. And I just want to know, raise your hand if you're one of those holdovers that still believes that we need to let it play out with Jeff Hardy and Karrion Kross. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. On October 4th, when the WWE draft happens, they're probably going to do Karrion Kross versus Jeff Hardy. And Karrion Kross is going to beat the brakes off of Jeff Hardy. And then I'm going to have some absolute dump of a human saying, see, you should have let it play out. They always planned this. This was always the plan. Long-term storytelling. And it absolutely isn't. But I really enjoyed this Karrion Kross promo. It had some definite shades of Sean O'Hare. I know we've got a much younger demographic that might not remember 18 years ago when Sean O'Hare was around, but Sean O'Hare was a very high upside, huge athletic signee from WCW who was brought up in the power plant, looked like he had all the tools. I mean, over the course of like 6 months, this guy beat Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Rikishi, Hulk Hogan. He beat a lot of people on that show, was in an angle with Roddy Piper, and unfortunately, things didn't work out for him. His demons got the best of him. But I thought Karrion Kross did really good here. It's just, this should have been week one, Denise. This should have been the first time he showed up.
So I saw your tweet about the Sean O'Hare thing and the Sean O'Hare comparison. And I think that if anybody could be able to do something like that, I do think that Karrion Kross has what it takes to be able to pull that off. However, with that being said, you mentioned day one, and I'm going to add to that. And, you know, having him win on day one is important, but also don't strip absolutely his entire personality from him. And that's what we saw happen. You know, they stripped away, you know, the whole, you know, the entrance, having Scarlett, you know, all of the, in this case, we need the smoke and mirrors, Sean. We need the smoke and mirrors. And so stripping that all away from him, it made him very vanilla. And that's what sucks, because now you're essentially starting from scratch. And I feel like you have to convince the viewers, hey, I know we've been showing you all of this stuff that isn't that great. And we know that he hasn't necessarily been winning, and he's lost against some people that maybe he shouldn't lost against. But you know what? Yeah. You should be interested in him. But now it's like they have to start all over, and they have to make up for everything that is already embedded in our heads. Because, you know, we've been watching Raw with Karrion Kross the last couple of weeks that he's been on, and it's been crickets when he comes out. And so when he comes out, and if I'm a viewer and I'm not, let's say I don't know anything about NXT or anything outside of, you know, Raw or any, I didn't know Karrion Kross, you know, prior to who he was before WWE, all I'm going to see is nobody cares for this guy. And that's the problem. You don't want to have that be seen for the people that, you know, maybe don't have any other outside information. So they do have to rebuild that from scratch for him.
So I see a lot of people saying, oh, he did this in Impact. I'm aware he did it in Impact, but when you use this verbiage on WWE TV, you will get comparisons to Sean O'Hare. He is one of the great what-if stories in WWE. KE says, like Cross's promo today, can we assume that Scarlett is out of the question? Francisco says, any word on Scarlett? Keep up the good work, Sean and Denise. I've been trying to find out and trying to get a confirmation on it. I don't want to speculate on anything, but she hasn't been around much since she did that dark match. Still working to find that out, but I'll tell you what, the big angle, Denise, is not, oh, Scarlett's going to show up and then he's going to beat everybody up. Because after the Keith Lee loss, he has not lost again. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So weird.
So like,
was it that hard to just have him win and then he loses Samoa Joe and then he's gone, or just hold this off for like a month or something?
They could have waited. Yeah, they could have waited. And, you know, now we're seeing how this Samoa Joe situation is ending. I mean, it just, there's a lot of stop and go is what I'm seeing. And you're able to see those moments where they had those stop moments. Stop. Let's recompose. Get going again. That's kind of, it's very noticeable that there isn't an entire plan here for Karrion Kross, when he was going to come into the main roster, for Samoa Joe. I mean, just everything. I don't know. And I'm wondering, is Scarlett going to, if she does, when we see her again, is she going to come back? She's going to do her own thing by herself? Are they going to put her with somebody else? Are they going to put her with Karrion Kross? I don't know.
I guess we're going to see. I'm going to report this soon. I heard when I was poking around about USA and NXT, heard of some original plans for Scarlett that got nixed like way back in 2019. So for some reason, I happened upon a bunch of scoops for when NXT popped up on USA. Hey, we will read your super chat. You do not need to send a chat that says, I do not think my super chat was read. Your super chat was about the Bobby Lashley title win. We haven't got there yet. We'll get there whenever it's time.
So were those plans good though? And I know you're going to report them later, but were they good plans that were nixed or bad plans that were nixed?
I mean, it was who she was going to manage. So it's hard to say. And it was in NXT. So I have a lot more confidence in them.
Oh, okay.
Akib says Vince feels as though the Royal Rumble pay-per-view is going to save him. Bruh, I don't know what that means at all, but I appreciate the super chat. Brandon Charles Powell says, Raw wears me out. Maybe they overcomplicate things. Guys, don't send shit like that. You will get banned immediately if you speculate pregnancies, COVID, all that shit. Don't do that here. Do that somewhere else. Akib says, love you both. Keep it up. SRS for Office DC. That sounds like a terrible idea. Me being in office sounds miserable. Brandon Rosen says, the women's tag titles were already meaningless. Scrap the women's tag belts altogether. Then you have a chance to create fresh matches and storylines and make the women's division interesting again. No, what you have is the opportunity for a whole bunch of women to sit on the sideline and WWE to not book them and not have anything worth fighting for. You could just, instead of scrapping all these titles, just book them to matter. I'm not of the belief scrap a title and everything else means more. Because what that shows me is it didn't mean enough for you to keep it.
They have women, too, to fill up this roster. I mean, granted, they have to reshuffle a little bit and, you know, gather, yeah. You know, dot their I's, cross their T's, all of that. But really, they have the opportunity to make the women's tag team titles actually mean something. And even, I don't think they should have two sets of women's tag team titles. I do not think that they should have done that. But I still think that even now that they've already, you know, made their bed with that, I do think that they can revive both sets of those titles, because I do think they have more than enough women to do that.
D. Sires says, do you see WWE working with AEW for like Rumble entries or Mania matches like Thunder Rosa versus Sasha Banks with the amount of talent jumping ship? I don't. I think that WWE wouldn't put their ego aside for that. I think AEW would be open to it. And I wish they would, because it would be the biggest thing that I've ever covered in my life. And it would be just, it'd be massive. Guys, remember, leave a thumbs up. Get your super chats in. Get your question or statement read on the air. Joel Wood says, with word that Vince is going to allow Brian to work in New Japan, do you think this will represent a change in policy as far as negotiating contracts? Yes. If I were a WWE talent, I would not even negotiate with WWE unless, one, they offered me a no-cut clause, and two, they were willing to give me some flexibility on schedule and a lot of stuff like that. So, yeah.
But Sean, but that's the thing, though, but Daniel Bryan was in a different position. I feel like it also depends on who you are. Not every Joe Schmo on the roster can go and be like, well, this is what I want. This is, you know, I think we can do it. It ain't going to happen for everybody. Like it happened. Like they were generous to him for multiple reasons. I don't think everyone's going to get that.
Drew and the Viking Raiders defeat Jinder, Veer, and Shanky. This was, it happened. I like watching Drew hit a Michinoku driver on really, really big people. That's cool. I don't know if I needed to see Drew fight these guys again because I've seen that 100 times.
He needs new competitors. I have a, he's like the only person where I truly feel he should jump over when this draft happens. He needs to go to SmackDown.
It seems like they're just biding their time.
Yeah, that's right? It feels pretty obvious now, especially that he's in this, you know, whole thing with Sheer. Sheer's not the name. What is it? Veer. I forgot Shanky. Their names. I'm like, what did I say? I don't even remember. Shanky and Veer, whatever, them.
Yeah, this happened. Good for them. Okay, there's not much to talk about. Jamel says, whose side are you taking on the second trial of Faye Jackson? Not Faye. She was in the wrong. Rage Lack says, also three out of four of the last WWE title changes have happened on TV. Drew Orton, Bobby Miz, E. Bobby. They shouldn't keep relying on this for attention. Yeah, they should. It's a TV show that's being paid $1 billion for. And I know I teased this USA Fox story last week, but I've been working on it since June when I first heard, started working on this. It's a pretty big WWE Fox USA story. And I was told, oh, wait for Cena to come back. Okay, now please wait for SummerSlam. And then we find out Becky and Brock are coming back. Oh, wait for this. Wait for this. Wait for this. There are so many different things at play. And next year is about the time when they start negotiating new deals. So we'll see. Moxie says, Faye Jackson bets just favor Big E. It's facts. Oh, boy. We'll talk about that. Akib says, it means Vince McMahon wants a big pay-per-view like the Royal Rumble to show his hand, but they don't build new people or carry storylines, so it's going to fail. Ultimately, it's about building to these moments, not just making these moments happen. I think that Big E trolling Paul Heyman helped a lot, but this was just completely out of left field. We'll talk about it. Let's talk about Damian Priest, Jeff Hardy, because, you know, we got Sheamus and Damian Priest at Extreme Rules, and there were a lot of people that thought I meant, like, when I was like, oh, great, this again, they thought I meant tonight. No, I'm still not excited that they're doing this for, like, a 6th or 7th time at Extreme Rules, and Damian Priest wins. It was a fine match. I like the open challenge format. I think that gives you a lot of room. I'm not going to complain that Jeff Hardy hasn't won a bunch. If it's an open challenge, it's an open challenge, Denise. And I also like doing the babyface versus babyface thing. We saw heel versus heel earlier with Charlotte and Shayna. I'm all for that. I thought this was a fine way to spend some time.
I think this is a good way to properly... Well, you know what? I'm going to reword this. This is a good way of using Jeff Hardy this week to also, you know, help out Damian Priest, you know, young up-and-coming star, et cetera, all of that, right? Or up-and-coming star. So, but here's the thing, though, is that with Jeff Hardy, I feel they do need to do so much better with him. And that I know there was that whole conversation on Twitter, you know, about having him in the 24/7 title picture and all of that's already been, you know, people have shared their thoughts on that. But it's just like someone like Jeff Hardy, who was one of the top, you know, WWE stars, you know, for a chunk of time there. And now you essentially, I feel like this is, he's had one of those cases where they have stripped so much from him where it's almost like they took a lot of what makes Jeff Hardy cool away from him and in these storylines. And if they want to, you know, help out, you know, people like Damian Priest, who they're trying to get over, you can't necessarily do that to people like Jeff Hardy. And like, I'm sorry, but like, I just like, I don't understand why they can't at least book Jeff Hardy the way that they're booking Sheamus, for example. I don't get it. I don't get it. I feel like they can do so much more there.
Mark says, don't announce open challenge opponents on Twitter ahead of television. I disagree. I'm okay with that. If it's an open challenge and he's got the opportunity to accept it, you can promote it. That's okay. We had New Day, Ali and Mansoor against Mace, T-Bar, AJ Styles, and Omos. Cool Joe says, the tag team turmoil last week match went nothing. Well, I mean, I hope they still have this tag team title match, MVP and Lashley against Orton and Riddle. because why wouldn't they? I hope they do. If they don't do that match, Denise, that's real annoying because that took up like half the show.
But yeah, tonight, they got it.
Tonight, my only real thoughts are Mustafa Ali is really, really smooth, and they're doing their best to maximize the positive in Omos. And I had somebody say, oh, well, what's the end game? He can't work. He can't sell. The end game is somebody beating him. The end game is somebody defeating Omos and getting over on this very limited guy. I think that's how limited performers should be used. Get them over really, really well, and then use it to have somebody beat them and have somebody else get over that is not as limited, that can help it a lot. What'd you think of this?
It's very obvious that, you know, they've been keeping Omos strong. In fact, they've been building him up even stronger. I'm not opposed to it. It still doesn't feel, I don't know, it still doesn't feel, I'm not completely sold on it yet, but that's what it's going to take. It's going to take him keep getting these wins, keep getting these nice wins that he's been getting for me to like kind of like really start getting a little bit more behind him, you know? But they are definitely building him up, and it's very clear that they're doing that. In terms of Mansoor and Mustafa Ali, I like that they've actually been giving them a little bit more little personality moments, like today with Mansoor, just like even as little as him just getting this moment to dance on TV, that did a lot for him. And that was a couple of seconds where I was like, oh, that, okay, Mansoor dancing, it's funny, all right. It was a couple of seconds, something little. It worked for me. The match itself, I was focusing a lot on what commentary was saying about Mace and T-Bar, and then just kind of basically saying that they're lost and this and that. And I'm just like, all right, well, yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, I do think that they should give them more of an interesting backstory. When you have guys that, you know, they still have like the, you know, the face paint and all of that, they need to make their story more unique. Right now, they just feel like former members are they still even calling them Retribution?
No, they're not, but I do.
Yeah, okay,
it's like they don't call former members, they don't right? call Lashley and MVP the Hurt Business, but I still call them the Hurt Business. Right. They are.
Okay, so it kind of just feels like they have the leftovers of Retribution. So now I feel like they have to reshape the story that they're telling, the backstories that they're telling with Mace and T-Bar, or either that, or because I'm starting to like get like I like yeah. The look doesn't bother me. The looks doesn't bother me anymore, but they do need to reshape their stories.
Tony says Ali sold well for Omos, so I enjoyed the ending. He made him look like $1 million. He did his job. Brandon Charles Powell says the way they're protecting Damian Priest, he should be the one that beats Omos. I love that idea.
It would be believable too.
Yeah, I love that idea. And Omos can be the base for Damian Priest doing high-flying stuff as well. Sean Taylor says WWE obviously doesn't care about tag teams. Why do they even have titles? If Vince doesn't want them, don't have them. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I don't get it. I don't get the idea of let's make less shit important on this show. I don't. It's a 3-hour show. Just stop booking them lazy. Like the idea of let's not have tag team titles. That is such a weird leap. Terry Allen Jr. says Stephanie might read names for the draft. Dull. Two other views roster isn't deep. Return machine from 2009 randomly picking wrestlers. I don't understand the context of this Terry Allen Jr., but I appreciate the super chat.
I like Stephanie reading out the names. That does not bother me at all.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Denise, do you play fantasy football?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like football.
Do you know what a PPR league is?
Nope.
It's a points per reception league. Do you know what a reception is?
Nope.
Well, Denise, it's time to add the PP back into PPR league with the sponsors of today's show, Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Just launched the new Performance Package 4.0. Do not neglect your balls like the Packers front office have neglected Aaron Rodgers. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by going to manscaped.com and getting 20% off plus free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL. This will help you tame that Troy Polamalu in your pants.
I don't understand these words.
It's okay. It's all right. You don't want to be busted wide open like the main event of an ECW pay-per-view whenever you trim your pubes. If you groom below the waist, the Performance Package 4.0 is essential. And good news for our international listeners, these life-changing products are now available in Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. You've got the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, and Crop Reviver toner. I'm so excited I'm getting ahead of myself. That's not all. Performance boxer briefs and a travel bag. The Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is so great. I mean, the 3.0 is good. The 4.0 is even better. Got the skin-safe technology, a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and it's waterproof. It's got an LED spotlight. You can turn that on and off. You will be as accurate as Brady threading the needle to Gronk or whoever the hell his excellent tight end is this year. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker. It's like having Derrick Henry run through those tough nose hair and ear hairs. Ew, gross. Don't forget the ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver, the Crop Preserver, and the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL. 20% off plus free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL. Good smelling balls, indeed. Will Denise?
I feel too much pressure with these. And sorry, I don't get any of your football terms. I'm not interested. I've tried. Okay. Actually, I didn't really. I don't really try with football. I just show up. I watch every now and then. And I go to, if I go to a game, I go for the food.
Well, the Bengals won, so I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy right now. But, Denise, we had a WWE title match. Randy Orton versus Bobby Lashley with Big E looming overhead, so to speak. A bit of a distraction, a bit of a schmoz finish, but Bobby Lashley retains. And, my God, Denise, this was a pretty good match. I thought a pretty good main event.
I loved it. I thought it was explosive. The people were into it. I thought they got straight to the point, both Bobby Lashley and Randy Orton. I loved like the last, like I loved the entire match. It wasn't that long, right? But the last couple of, I just dropped
the bottle. What the hell was that?
Sorry.
Before, just so you all know, before we went on the air, Denise had to go fix something and I hear her shouting off in the distance. I look like shit.
I didn't know that you could hear me. And then when like I came back, you had like a funny look on your face. And I was like, yeah, I think you heard me. I was yelling in the hallway to my fiance that I look like shit. Okay. I love the match. Okay. I thought it was explosive. I thought that Randy Orton, you know, they did a lot of good in the last like final moments of the match. And then, you know, when that whole commentary table spot happened and all of that went down, I legitimately for a second thought that Bobby Lashley was legitimately hurt. I wasn't sure. To be honest, I wasn't too sure. Once I actually, and then there was like the, like they muted, they had like a little bit of a mute there. And I thought, yes. Oh man, he's probably definitely hurt here. So I fell for that. So good. I'm glad that they did. I like to be in there and go, you know, get a little surprised here and there. Anyway, so then we finally get Big E's music coming out. And I'm thinking to myself,
We're going to wait.
Sorry.
So Bobby Lashley wins. Richard says, Denise's facial expressions during that ad, dead. Brandon Charles Powell, language, Denise.
Oh, when did I say a bad word? Oh, sorry. Oh,
before we went on the air.
Oh,
but
yeah.
JW Pringle says he'd give Raw a 3.5 or 4 out of 5 tonight. The late match changes and title changes reek of desperation for ratings from a company that can do so much more, but is flat out lazy. Well, they should be desperate for ratings. They should always be desperate for ratings, Denise. They're getting paid $1 billion over 4 or 5 years. But you know what? You don't have to pay $1 billion to get the Fightful magazine over at FightfulMag.com. The cover story, CM Punk has returned to wrestling. We've got John Cena's return. The Thunder Rosa Wave by Emily Heller, who works directly with her. We've got Cody Deaner, Impact star, writing for the Wrestler's Tribune. RIP to the Thunderdome. Plus indie tales, including a match with Brian Lee, the fake Undertaker, Chains of DOA. Make sure you guys check that out. I've been trying to track him down for years. Retro Gaming talking about Fire Pro Wrestling. There's so much here in the new Fightful magazine. Digital and physical editions are available now. And the benefit is you can go back and buy issue 2 and 3 physical as well. and it ages just as well. This stuff is very, very evergreen. We got part four of our interview with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, a Where Are They Now, the Steiner Brothers, and a look at these circus boxing fights. Check it out, FightfulMag.com. Tony Wilde Fung says Lashley versus Orton, big match and set up for the end, but then it happens. But not quite yet it doesn't happen, Denise. Big E's music hits, he comes out and he cashes Money in the Bank, and they go to a commercial, kind of like I just did, with a few minutes left. It is 10:57 Eastern, and they come back from a commercial. Denise, what the hell?
So remember when I told you in the beginning that there was a part of me that thought, what if they don't do it? When they went to commercial, I thought, oh my God, something's going to happen. He's not going to win tonight. They went to commercial. Why would they go to commercial? This is like the, you know, the moment in the movie that you're like, we're finally going to find out what's going to happen to these characters. This is the big, you know, the big payoff. This is the cherry on the sundae. Whatever. You get my point here. And they went to commercial. I thought this is not going to be good. When we came back, I obviously felt a lot better. And I was even wondering, like, are we going to come back? Like, what's going to be happening? What's going to be going on when we come back? Because it kind of felt like it would be too long for them to keep doing what they were doing based on when we left, when we took off for commercial.
Yeah. Well, what happens is Big E wins the WWE Championship. He goes after the knee of Lashley. Lashley hits a spear. Big E kicks out. Crowd erupts. Then Big E eventually hits the big ending and is champion.
It was simple, too, because you have Bobby Lashley, who, you know, is selling the knee. You have Big E, who's, you know, he goes for the knee. He goes to attack him on the knee. And then you have the near fall. The second that happened and ended up being a two count, I was like, okay, now I know for sure that we're definitely going to be seeing Big E become champion. And so finally he hits the big ending and you just knew it right then and there. And I liked like the post-match celebration with Xavier Woods and, you know, and Kofi Kingston coming out. I thought all of that was great. So even though this did feel like there could have been a bigger story to tell here, it was nice to see the celebration.
Oh boy, do we have a lot of super chats about this. First off, I am so happy about this. And so is Malcolm Mitchell. We've got him saying, just enjoy the moment. Ricardo saying finally he's the champion. Hannah, our great moderator, saying he's the king. Rob Wilkins, who writes for Fightful, saying the love he's getting is awesome. Aqib says Big E is champ is huge. I just hope I just hope New Day gets a big rub from it. Connor Delaney says it was the best part of Raw. Well, obviously, yes, big time. Joey Bag of Donuts says Big E's win was almost as big as one of Denise's BMs. I don't know if you mean Big Fat BM?
BM?
Big Fat Shit, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know.
Anna M says, Big E should have the power to get his last name back now. He told me that they just took it from him. We have so many super chats about this.
Orlando, did I tell you when I interviewed Big E, I called him Biggie Langston, and I forgot that he didn't have the Langston anymore. And he was like, Langston! And I was like, oh, that's gone, dang.
Oh, gosh.
That was a while back.
Orlando says it's about time. Bravo, WWE. I'm just going to try to get to all of these. There's a lot about representation in wrestling, which I think is very important. WWE, especially with the WWE title over the last 2.5 years, Kofi Kingston, Bobby Lashley, Big E, black men holding the world championship, the WWE championship. This is very important. Jay Kane says representation matters. I'm crying. Because as someone who is black, this matters. AEW needs POC. Yes, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Adam Cole are good additions. I see no one positioned as POC. AEW need to do better. They do need to do better. I mean, you better believe if any of those three I just mentioned were available in the free agent market, AEW would be pushing them as top talent. But yeah, I agree. AEW needs better representation in that regard. But my God, Brendan saying WWE love multicultural champions. Well, they have of late, finally, after 50, 60 years. It took a long, long time. Vincent says, one thing WWE has is black representation getting main event spots. I know AEW is diverse, but I'd love to see more black wrestlers as a mixed fan. I would too. As not a mixed fan, I would just love to see that. I'd love to see it all over the map. I mean, yeah. Raphael says WWE really deserves praise for the ability to be inclusive these last two or three years. Doesn't change the past, but it has been something. You got to change sometime, Denise. So I'd rather than them just ignore it forever, them make the change. And they have made the change.
It's to it, the way I see it too, it's like, I don't want to say baby steps because it shouldn't be baby steps because it's been such a long time, but at least seeing steps being moved in the right direction. I don't, those are not baby steps, but still, yeah. I feel like you still got to at least make effort, right?
Yeah. And that's what they're doing, that they're making that effort. And yeah. Ken says, I can't get excited for a Big E title run because his company has burned me so much. Happy for him, though. Nerd Guru says, Raw still sucks, but that ruled. Big E rules. New Day rule. He's upset that Charlotte can't sell. So, I mean, how do you think they follow this up? Where do you see this? Because, I mean, they had been planning. There's a Lashley and MVP versus Orton and Riddle match that's supposed to happen. They had teased Lashley and Goldberg. Big E wants to face Goldberg. Goldberg has already wrestled his two matches for the year. Where the hell do they go?
So first of all,
probably a rematch, but
we're bound to see that. I would like to see Big E versus Randy Orton. I think that would be a good shout there. But I just hope that they actually put, because when Big E won the Intercontinental Championship, it was this big grand moment, right? The reign itself was not anything like, you know, it wasn't anything OMG, and they quickly ended it right away. So I do hope that they actually give him a nice reign here as WWE champion. I don't want it to be necessarily, you know, he gets the bout, you have this big, great, nice moment, and then that's it. And that's kind of what it felt like when he won the Intercontinental Championship. And so I do hope that they kind of, you know, right the wrongs a little bit with that one as WWE champion. But I would like to see Big E Randy Orton. I think that there's definitely options, especially now that we're going into this draft. And you know what? We're just a couple of weeks away. We're like three Raws away from that. So they definitely have some good options there.
We've got Death Star saying, I'm black and black representation is all over sports. I feel like race needs to be left out of it. Enjoy the moment for a good person winning. I respect what you're saying, but you see Shad Gaspard crying when Kofi Kingston won that title. I spoke to Jonathan Gresham, who I think is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and he said to me, he said, I'm just happy that somebody who looks like me is in the conversation right now, because for a long time we weren't. So obviously, if it means something to somebody, let it mean something to somebody. We have Tejo saying, love Fightful, correct me if I'm wrong, first back-to-back African-American WWE champs, another historic moment for New Day. Xavier, we're waiting. Oh, I got to have Xavier win King of the Ring this year. That's got to happen now. It's got to happen. I really, really hope so.
It would be nice too. I see, again, there's so much that they can do. And like, I know people also like, I don't know, like, I feel like they can even do like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of different options that they can go around with this, and it feels exciting. And the fact that they even did this, considering that this is something that the fans actually wanted, I think that's what's kind of taken me aback a little bit more, where I'm like, oh, but here's the thing too. It's like the fans wanted Big E to be Intercontinental Champion. It happened. Fans wanted Big E to be WWE Champion. It happened. So that is a really good sign. Now, I just hope they actually make the change. They make his reign really mean something.
Roman Reigns has replied to the video of Big E cashing in on Lashley and said, smart decision.
Smart.
That's interesting. Smart KW tweet. Says, love Big E. Glad he won. More people talking about the huge racial implications of this. William saying, back-to-back black WWE champions. Denise, let people have this moment. I think she was letting people have this moment.
Yeah, what did I do? Yeah,
she didn't do anything.
Well, I was going to say, what did I say? Did I say something existing. Wrong?
Denise always hogs the limelight.
Yeah. No, I just feel like, I will say they did hot shot the moment. There could have been a great story. The Intercontinental Championship run wasn't anything, you know, amazing, but that doesn't mean I'm taken away from the moment.
Our friend Rafael Garcia, who I met in Chicago had a bunch of super chats. He said, WWE changed its Twitter profile to say Big E is WWE champion. Have they done that from a brand perspective for other champions? I don't remember it. I don't remember them doing it. And he says, since WWE is in a giving mood, draft Lashley and MVP to SmackDown and give us that match versus Lesnar while they're at it. I wish. that's a slam dunk they got to go for.
They do definitely got to go for it. And right now, this is the time too. This is the time to actually listen to the fans. Well, I mean, it's always the time to listen to the fans, right? But right now, more than ever, it's the time to actually do stuff that the fans want to see.
Yep, I completely agree. I mean, there's nothing wrong with booking a primarily babyface promotion, a territory. Give the people what they want to see, and then sometimes don't. It's just you got to be able to book those baby faces. Rafael Garcia also says, last one, how important are New Day to this generation? Gosh, they might be, in totality, the most important tag team ever at this point within WWE. I mean, you've got two world champions. You've got one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
Merch sales.
Merch sales are off the charts. They are not stale. They are not boring. They've been doing this 7.5 years. There's never been dissension. There's never been a breakup. There have been multiple title runs across intercontinental titles and all that stuff.
Outside projects, the YouTube channel, everything that Xavier Woods has done with like the video game stuff, you know, having them be part of commercials, et cetera, all of that.
Yeah. We have Victor Nash saying, listen to your Facebook fans and read our comments. Well, go over to youtube.com/Fightful, my friend, because that's where you can send super chats. And those are what we read. Like Danilo Silva saying, I was there live. Pop was much louder in person. Oh, boy. I can't even imagine. As good as it sounds on TV, it's always louder in person. It always is. We've got a ton more. Kate Hensler, of course, a great Fightful contributor, says Ali tweeting Brody would be proud about Big E. Philo Diggs saying Brody Lee smiling down. Big E win makes this huge. It does. I mean, it's just huge in general, and good for him. WWE Mark says, remember when Big E would never get his moment with his non-serious gimmick? Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, God. That was not a smart thing to say.
Nope.
Definitely not a smart thing to say. And I think that it's been proven wrong. Given the people's reactions, it's been proven wrong.
I completely agree. You don't have to change who you are. You can be entertaining and convincing.
That's the point, too. You don't want to keep having the same champions over and over doing the same thing. You got to bring something different to the table.
Norm Summer says, Big E is the champ. New Day back together makes this a juicy 4 out of 5 Raw. Well, if you watched the last 15 minutes, it's a 5 out of 5 Raw. But other than that, I don't think you missed much. Congrats, SRS. You deserve it. Thank you very much. I extended my Fightful deal. Very happy about that. Here for the next 8.5 years. So
I gotta be nice to you now, Sean.
You gotta be nice to me.
So yeah, I'm gonna promote. This is me being nice to you, by the way. I've been nice to you.
I own part of the company now.
Yeah, so. That's why I gotta be nice. I'm smart. I don't bite the hand that feeds me.
Danilo Silva says one more for pronouncing my name right. James Higgins says it's actually nice to think they split New Day, drafted Big E to SmackDown to make him feasible champion, but in the end he won with them by his side. That's why I think like Adam Pearce should bring that up. Around draft time, like the reason you all got drafted separately wasn't because they didn't want to draft you together. It's because Kofi and Xavier said, please draft us separately so he'll have to go on his own. I think that would be very cool. Jeremy says, more likely to happen, New Day main event Survivor Series is a triple threat for the WWE title or Kofi and Woods move to SmackDown. I think it's more likely that Kofi and Woods get moved to SmackDown. I wouldn't doubt that they'd keep them separate somehow, Denise. They shouldn't, though. I think that it's time to have them back together.
I think it wouldn't hurt them to have them back together, especially right now. I don't think it would hurt them.
And we've got other speculation for Survivor Series, if I can find the damn thing. But Ragelack says, I'm happy WWE won, but it feels too soon. Should have been more played out with him in the case. Wish he held it and feuded with Roman to have a proper New Day versus Bloodline feud. But we do have somebody, gosh, I wish I could see who, I'll shout you out as soon as I see it, who brings up, there you go, Isaac Merriweather says, imagine if we get New Day versus Bloodline at Survivor Series. To me, that's what you do. You don't do Roman versus Big E. That's a WrestleMania match in the future if you can do it. You do Bloodline, Usos, and or Bloodline and New Day. Do an elimination. I would love that.
Yeah, good way to prolong it as well. Like you said, you don't want to go into that match right away.
Man, it looked like we were going to be able to wrap this show in an hour, but we still got so many super chats about
this. Yeah, I'll get a bonus today.
I doubt it. D'Lo Diggs says,
read slow, Sean. Read really slow.
D'Lo says, I miss Big E teasing Heyman with the briefcase. That was fun stuff. I always enjoyed that. I really did like that.
And he had to do it too. You don't want to just be like, oh yeah, I have the briefcase, but I'm never going to taunt anybody.
Yes. Nick says, let's effing go, Big E. So well deserved. Hoping his reign goes well. Excited for him to run it back with Lashley in a full match with plenty of meat slapping time. We love the sirloin beef, sons of bitches, slapping that meaty meat, bumping that meat up against each other, grinding up against each other. We love that.
All right,
that
this is turning into something else, Sean.
No, it's not. It's turning into big meaty men bumping meat. Specifically, the meat is sirloin beef. Ryan Sullivan says he didn't watch any of Raw, but the end with Big E is awesome, and I was so happy for him. Also, love Denise's vlog. The hatred of the bean in Chicago was great. I don't think a lot of people understand like all the work that goes into one of those travel weekends. And Denise's vlog highlighted it pretty well.
Yeah, I tried my best. There were some days where I forgot to get footage or like something would happen. And then I would be like, dang, I should have gotten that from my vlog, but I did it. Because sometimes you're just busy living your life, you know?
Yeah. Tom says Big E's celebration was so genuine. I got goosebumps. It's so easy to be happy for him. Predictable isn't always bad. Cheers, guys, says William Davis. Spent all night wondering how they'd get around to it, and they just did it. Nerd Guru says, too bad they don't think more ahead of these things. Big E challenging Lashley at SummerSlam with the case to avenge New Day and win is better. I agree. Yeah. That would have been better.
They could have planted those seeds. They could have definitely planted those seeds. And that's finally clearest when they finally decided to pull the plug, you know?
And then they could have just done Lashley and Goldberg at Saudi and saved the match. It would have been like nobody... I can't imagine anybody said, okay, I gotta watch this for Goldberg. It was so weird. Except for Denise.
Robert except says, for me, apparently.
Did you see the sweat fly off Lashley with E slap? That's when I knew it was happening. That's when I knew it was happening.
No, I mean, that wasn't the moment where I knew was happening for me. For me, it was when Big E kicked out. But when I saw all of that sweat, I just remember saying, dang, he's sweaty. That was it.
And that's when I knew that match was happening. I was like, there's no way Lashley backs down. IG the King says Roman versus Drew at Mania. There's a story from last year.
Yeah, I feel like I personally liked it, especially during that moment. Now Drew has lost a lot of steam, so they would have to build some of that back up.
JW Pringle says, if they're going to bump so much beef, let's hope they're manscaped. You're welcome for the plug. Hey, you're welcome for your plug being nice and taken care of. Hannah M says, did I hear something about big meaty men slapping meat? That's my base signal. Well, there you go. Look at that. The big meaty men slapping meat, bumping all up against each other. The sirloin beef sons of bitches. That's a draw, Denise. Sorry.
I'm no need to apologize. No need to apologize.
We have a lot of people like Young Boy saying he feels like WWE hit the emergency button. Roxas Vanita saying he hopes that he's booked better than Nikki A.S.H. was.
Yeah, he will, because the Nikki character was not treated like a serious character.
Connor says he thought they were going to screw up the cash in because it's Vince McMahon and he doesn't give a damn what we want. The pessimistic side of you, Denise, were you like, this is going to be bad? Were you like, this is a ploy for ratings? I don't care. Do ploys for ratings as long as it's good TV.
There was a part of me that was like, man, I did think that they were going to mess it up. I thought there was going to be like somebody coming in and like ruining it for Big E. I just thought this is what the fans want and they're not going to do it. That was just my mentality.
Yeah. And I'm the ploy for ratings again. I don't care if it's good TV. James says my theory about the late commercial was to make a face challenger like Big E have a more legit win as it wasn't a blindside. I mean, that's possible. But also he said it 12 hours ago that he was doing this. IG King saying Lashley saying ring the effing bell was badass. It was. And that's what I want. I don't want him to be afraid of anybody. He was just being smart. I don't think he was being scared. His knee was hurt. It reminded me a lot of, I don't know if any of you have seen, I think it was maybe Guilty as Charged 01. But when Sandman won the title, he came like Rhino came and beat the shit out of him. I mean, real bad. And he wanted a match. I think he threatened Sandman's wife. And Sandman is just face down, dead. And Rhino said he was going to beat up his wife if he didn't give him a match. And Sandman just goes, ring the fucking bell. It was so good. It was so good.
Yeah, and then with this match, I also like that Bobby Lashley wasn't necessarily, I thought that they were just going to have him, you know, essentially win in a way where it's like, okay, he won because it was, you know, due to Bobby Lashley's knee. So I thought they were going to go straight for it. But the fact that they actually didn't have Bobby Lashley lose in a way that was so dominating,
yes.
I thought that, you know, also protected Bobby Lashley in a way. So I did like that they, you know, had Bobby Lashley kind of have the upper hand in the beginning of this. And again, that's why I was worried too. I was like, oh my God, they're probably not going to, you know, again, I was not completely convinced.
To me, you got to have some of these heels that are convincing, that are so good that you want to see them lose. Not just all chicken shit heels. Sean Blanford says, the optimist in me wishes a long Big E title reign because he truly deserves it. The realist knows this is nothing more than a ratings pop and Big Bob will be the champ again at Extreme Rules.
Bob. I was about to say, who's Bob? I forgot. Dude, on one of my tweets, I called Bobby Bobbly. I put an L for some reason. Bobbly Lashley. It just happened.
Bobbly Lashley. Do you ever accidentally misspell it as Booby Lashley?
No, it was Bobbly. Bobbly Lashley. Bobbly.
John Gorman says, happy for Big E. Who does he feud with next? Thank you for your hard work, SRS. Being subscribed to Fightful Select continues to be a great investment. Yes, guys, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We have 4,200 subscribers. I cannot tell you how important that is. Jimmy Van has a goal of 5,000. That
you think you'll be there by the end of the year? I think
I hope so. I mean, at the end of every month, I freak out and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're losing hundreds because of cancellations at the end of the month. That's always happens.
But they come back, right?
Eventually, because somehow I keep breaking giant news at the beginning of every month. But please subscribe to that, guys. There's exclusive news there every day, and there's a show there every day. So check it out. Who do you think Lash or Big E will feud with next? Hear me out. If he doesn't switch brands, I think it should be heel Drew McIntyre.
Oh, well, he's been going down that path. So probably that would be a good one there. I'll stick with my Randy Orton one for now.
Aaron says, real talk, I'll be a little disappointed if now E is champion. We don't get to see him in a fine suit. You know, he'd look good. Oh, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would. Stephen Jenkins says, just wanted to say I'm thankful for everything you both do and the hard work you put in covering pro wrestling. Congrats to Big E. Very deserving. Well, it's very easy to cover pro wrestling. Even when it's bad, I'd rather do nothing else than
That's
talk about
true.
Pro wrestling.
I've had worse jobs.
Yeah, I'll have people that are like, you don't even like WWE. Why don't you cover it? Well, I like pro wrestling, and I want it to be good. And you know what? I'm real fucking good at my job. So that's why I cover it. Matt James says, I thought Big E was going to swerve everyone and announce he's going to use the briefcase to claim the vacant NXT title. Oh, no.
Oh, for a second? I know. I wasn't thinking he was going to swerve people, but I thought for a second that what if he popped in on Tuesday and did something there? I did think that for a split second.
Yep. Isaac says, I believe this is the first time in WWE history that a male world title has changed from one African-American to another. It seems like it. A lot of people have brought that up. And I mean, it shows
I can't
you
think of another period of another. Yeah, I don't know.
And WWE has like they've made great efforts for inclusivity. I love it. Bezos says from U.S. champ and IC champ respectively earlier in this year to back-to-back WWE champions, black excellence at its finest. Hashtag black wrestling draws. Also, I should just throw in personally, hashtag Christian Cage is a coward. Christian Cage ducked Big E earlier this year. He signed with AEW to avoid wrestling Big E. And now look what happened. Christian Cage lost his world title match. Big E won his. Cowards get what cowards deserve. Nerd Guru said, just had a terrible thought. Karrion Kross is going to beat Big E for the title of the week at Survivor Series. They love doing that shit. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. No. It would not be good. No.
Connor Delaney brings up that both Money in the Bank winners won their separate titles on Raw, Nikki and Big E. Yeah. I do miss having a long-term Money in the Bank holder, though. I wish they would do that a little bit more.
I like it when I get, like, I know it's been a very long time, but I, you know, growing up, I used to like it when I forgot that somebody had the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
And it was always like that big surprise where it's like, oh my God, they really did come in.
Well, unfortunately, WWE would beat them so much that you would forget that they were worth anything, but Wafflebox says, was this a knee-jerk reaction to get ratings? Maybe, but who cares? An awesome man got what he deserved tonight. Let's celebrate. You know what? I completely agree. When Booker T won his first WCW title, I was like, you know what? Is it a knee-jerk reaction to Hulk Hogan not wanting to do business? Yes, it is. Do I give a shit? Nope, because Big E or Booker T was champion. Big E is champion now. People get what they deserve in those two situations. And two guys that have worked really hard for a really long time and overcame a lot got something special. T-Mac says, love that Big E won the championship, but the presentation was trash. They went to a commercial break right after the cash-in, killed the momentum. You're with us right there, T-Mac. I completely agree. I do agree with maybe the fact that it wasn't such a blindsiding, but we'll talk more about that. Reminder, guys, we have shows all week, post-NXT show. Listen to your boy on Wednesday, the post-AEW show Wednesday, the distraction on Thursday, and post-SmackDown on Friday. Andrew Lolivar says, the only thing I hated about Big E's win is he didn't bring up Lashley destroying Kofi and Woods in the opening segment and wanting payback. This should have happened, Denise. Absolutely should have happened.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. They should have planted seeds for a while for that so that at least people could have that to sort of, you know, tie that back to. It was an easy story to tell and an easy way to connect the dots, even having him, you know, obviously on that SmackDown roster.
Matt James says, to the previous message from person from color to color getting the title, do we count when Rock beat Booker T for the WCW belt? Well, I mean, if you're talking about world championships in general, yes, you absolutely should. And I mean, The Rock's father is a black man, so yes. But I think people specifically mean the WWE title. And Voodoo Child wraps us up with a very, very important super chat. You want your five-star matches? You want your 30-minute classics? Not me. Big meaty men slapping meat. That's what I want to see.
Send more super chats. I need 10 more minutes.
Need
10 minutes of super chats, people.
We might adjust it. We might adjust it, Denise, just for you, because you worked so hard. But tell the people where they can find you, Denise.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. I'm so close to that 50K mark. Almost there. Please go there. Twitter and Instagram @_Denise Salcedo. I'm super close to hitting 40K on Twitter. Go follow me there. I'm going to be very, very, there's going to be a lot going on this week. So if you want to follow that, you definitely can.
We have so many interviews that are going up on Fightful this week, guys. So check it out. Check out twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming. All kinds of cool stuff going on over there. But most importantly, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I promise it's worth it. You know, we're just casually being like, hey, guys, by the way, Johnny Gargano's contract is up. Kevin Owens' contract is up. Pete Dunne's contract is up. Pete Dunne got offered a new contract. Adam Cole's leaving WWE. You know, just normal stuff. Just normal stuff, Denise.
Son, what happened to your hair this stream? When I tuned in, you were like combing it, and now look at you.
It's a mess. It's a real mess. But here we are. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.